Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, April the 6th. Our guest this hour, Joanne Weintraub, the television columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, had a column in yesterday's paper that caught my eye because I was reading so much and hearing so much about Katie Couric's interview with John and Elizabeth Edwards on 60 Minutes the Sunday before last. Much of it, most of it, maybe all of it, negative. Did you see that interview? What did you think of it? When she asked questions like this.
Your decision to stay in this race has been analyzed and quite frankly judged by a lot of people. And some say what you're doing is courageous. Others say it's callous. Some say, isn't it wonderful they care for something greater than themselves? And others say it's a case of insatiable ambition. You say?
I say all of those judgments and questions are entirely legitimate. I mean, when you offer yourself up for service to the country as the President of the United States, you deserve to be evaluated. I am perfectly open to that evaluation.
Well, while the Edwards took the questions in stride, Couric was practically attacked for asking them. As our guest notes in her column, most of the 119 emails that CBS posted on its website in the 72 hours after the interview, only a fraction of the total response were about the Edwards. Most were about Katie Couric. Why is this? And we wonder if you agree or not with the comments that many were posting saying that Couric was insensitive, she was cruel, she was cold. I even had a caller to my program last week who wanted to comment on Couric's eyebrows, saying she looked like a Vulcan. I saw several cable TV interviews, too, where the commentators were criticizing Katie Couric, saying how could she even ask those questions when she continued working when her husband had colon cancer. We will talk about the backlash against Katie Couric over this interview and wonder what's behind it. Do you fault Couric, or do you, like our guest, believe that she posed questions that any journalist would pose? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Joanne Weintraub is television columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She wrote a piece entitled Backlash About More Than Couric. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us early on a Friday morning.
My pleasure.
I'm just wondering your general reaction to all of this. I mean, I had this caller to my program last week commenting on Couric's eyebrows.
Yeah. That's not surprising. Can I quote just a little more from the comments on
the
website?
Yeah. There were even nastier ones than I mentioned, yeah.
That's why I wanted to mention some of them. Judgmental, insensitive, cold. Arrogant with the guise of a smile. Too full of herself to be so brazenly bold. A perky blonde cheerleader trying to be tough. A $15 million princess. An embittered wench. A hardened witch. A sickening interview that was worthy of her skills, which apparently are showing off her legs and high heels. Her recent facelift made her look nasty. Just a few more. She's no better than Rosie O'Donnell, Ann Coulter, Nancy Grace. She was carrying water for Hillary Clinton. She was carrying water for Rush Limbaugh, which I think is maybe the first time that the same person has been accused of carrying water for both of those people in the same breath. And over, she was a hypocrite because she had, quote-unquote, nannies raising her daughters, and who was she to pose such questions?
Yeah, it was... It really troubled me, and I'm going to state my opinion, because I thought I would have asked those same questions.
Yeah, yeah. Couric was not totally without blame here, because I think, as I said in the column, this is not a hanging offense. I think maybe she should have done things a little bit differently in mentioning that she went on working when her husband had colon cancer. And maybe she might have mentioned that some people criticized her for that. I think there's a problem here in that, you know, on the Today Show, she was very often warm, fuzzy, Katie Couric. And as anybody would, she has had trouble making the transition when she needs to tough-minded Katie Couric. But that is not, as I said, that is not a hanging offense. And when people start using words like witch and wench and princess, I don't think it's, I don't, you know, do the math. What's the male equivalent mm-hmm. of witch and wench and princess? Some of this is just good old-fashioned sexism.
Yeah, Dan Rather would not have had these kinds of comments posted about him.
Not that Dan Rather didn't get criticized mm-hmm. for other things, but Dan Rather, to just call a spade, would not have been criticized for this particular line of questioning, whether or not he had a family member with cancer.
We're talking with Joanne Weintraub. She is television columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're discussing the backlash against Katie Couric following her interview with John and Elizabeth Edwards. We're welcoming your questions, your reactions, your comments. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes now past 6 o'clock. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. And after 5, many people let stress and fear rip huge holes in their emotional lives, according to Ben's guest after 5. He'll talk about how to not be afraid of your own life. That's after 5 this afternoon. We're wondering this hour, do you think Katie Couric was too hard on John and Elizabeth Edwards when she interviewed them on 60 Minutes regarding the decision to stay in the presidential race despite the reoccurrence of cancer in Elizabeth Edwards? Do you think that she asked unfair questions? Do you fault her, like many have, in being judgmental and insensitive or cold and worse? We're talking about why there was such a backlash, and we welcome your questions and comments for our guest who wrote a column about this yesterday in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Joanne Weintraub is our guest, television columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we'll get to the phones in just a minute, Joanne. But besides good old-fashioned sexism, what do you think is behind this kind of backlash?
Well, I think that any time that you have a national personality who has been, and you know, Elizabeth Edwards for good or for ill is a national personality. And you know, she's not somebody who has shied away from the spotlight in the previous campaign. But anytime you have someone with such a high profile diagnosed with cancer, which in her case is a recurrence, which makes it much more serious, hearts are going to go out to them, and hearts should go out to them. They've got a difficult life ahead of them. They have young children. He is attempting a political comeback on a national level. You know, the timing is never good for a cancer diagnosis, but the timing is they're very unlucky. And of course, people have sympathy for them, and of course, people don't want to see them trashed. But you know, listening to, I'm so glad you played that clip because people were emphasizing the kind of, you know, the weasel words. Well, some say you're opportunists, but she also said some say you're very brave.
Mm-hmm.
And as John Edwards said, those are legitimate questions. I don't feel they're inappropriate questions. You said you were going to give your opinion. I'll give my opinion on something else. I do think the Edwards are brave. I don't think they're opportunistic. I think that, you know, when you pull out of a race, you pull out of a race, and it's hard to come back. If her condition should worsen, if their children's care or their children's psychological condition should become an issue, he can pull out a week from Tuesday. He can pull out whenever he wants. So to say we're staying in the race means we're staying in the race for now. And ultimately, it's nobody's business but theirs what they decide to do and when they decide to do it. The reason that these questions come up is because we may be asked to vote for him, mm-hmm. vote for him in a primary or vote for him ultimately. Mm-hmm. And these questions come up. I'm sorry, I may have, you know, misstated what I meant when I said it's nobody's business. You can look at it as many things that journalists ask are nobody's business. The Edwardses didn't have to go on 60 Minutes. Right. Why do you mm-hmm. think they were on 60 Minutes? They were on 60 Minutes. They can decline. They can say, gee, we're sorry, Katie. This is a bad time. Catch you next time.
Yeah.
Says there are no inappropriate questions, only inappropriate answers.
Right, and when I said I was stating my opinion, I may not have worded the questions precisely the way that Katie Couric worded them. But
and I might not have either.
Yeah, but they were the questions that that needed to be asked in an interview like that. That's why I was so shocked at the reaction to them. Let's go to our first caller, Tim in Evansville. Hi, Tim, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Joy.
Morning.
Yeah, you know, I saw the whole interview, and overall, I didn't see any issues too much with it, but I think what caught my attention, and especially my wife, and I guess this is where my question goes, thought it was really insensitive when she had asked, did he think that he was putting putting himself in front of his family? Versus, you know, should he be doing this for the country when his wife was in that position? And I think my wife was really upset about that. And I'm wondering, is it more the women that are upset about this out there or the men? Because they were both agreeing on this decision. And I think on that question, she got a little too personal. And I think that's where it was their own business and not the country's business. And I'll just take my comments off the air.
No, that's interesting. So the one about whether this was going to be unfair to their children or whatever, I can't remember exactly what the question was.
Yeah, well, the caller asked, was it women more than men who are upset by this? I mean, it's always hard to say. You know, these 119 comments are, you know, pretty much the self-appointed judge and jury, and since so many of them are anonymous, it's hard to say. But of the comments that I read on the air, you know, the witch and the wench and all that, a surprising number of those did come from women. I'd say, you know, maybe about 50-50. The commentators who, you know, the sort of anti-correct commentators seem pretty evenly divided between women and men. So, you know, this is hardly a scientific survey, but it seemed about 50-50 to me.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tim, for the call. Do you have any comments, though, on the one question in particular that Tim's wife was upset about because it was too personal? It wasn't, I guess, the public life of the Edwards. It was the personal life of the Edwards.
There's a whole other show in there's a whole other series in Have We Gone Too Far and What We Ask Politicians. But given current standards, no, I don't think it was out of line. I would raise sort of a different concern about personal questions, and that's that, frankly, they're not likely to be answered very honestly, if you know what I mean. And I'm not accusing the Edwardses here of dishonesty. I'm saying that the more personal the question, the less likely it is to call forth a really candid answer.
Yeah. How much, Joanne, do you think this backlash is due in part to, Well, you mentioned it in the very start of your column yesterday about how much money she makes and the big hubbubaloo about her being appointed the first female anchor of CBS. I mean, I don't know, jealousy. We don't like high-paid celebrities.
Yeah, it's partly envy, and it's partly, you know, some of it's logical and reasonable. You know, the more. The higher the profile, what's that old phrase that, you know, if a nail, you know, stands up, people wanna hammer it down. Mm. You know, we as I said at the very beginning of my column, don't feel sorry for her. You know, she's getting paid the big bucks, she'll take it, and if she gets fired, there'll be another job along right away. And I don't think she's going to get fired anytime soon. I think they're going to tinker more with the newscast. Yeah, if somebody gets paid $15 million, they're putting themselves out there for judgment in exactly the same way that the Edwardses are, because he's running for president. But the venom with which this is expressed is, I'd say, half of it is because she's a woman. Sure, you know, Dan Rather makes a mistake, and he did, and he gets hung out to dry and eventually forced into retirement. But as I said, I don't know that there's a male equivalent for which people don't talk about $15 million princes very much. But $15 million princess, you know, implies that she's Barbie in some way. Yeah, a lot of this is about her profile. We like to elevate people and knock them down. It's a national sport.
Yeah. You also wrote, though, this isn't all about Couric, but the cult of personality that has made TV news the silly circus it so often is.
Yeah.
And talk more about that.
You know, maybe they have a better idea in Britain, where they call them news readers, you know, or news presenters. People like Brian Williams and Charles Gibson and Katie Couric, yes, they report the news, but reporting the news has become a fairly small part of their job. Mostly they deliver the news. And it's sad and kind of childish that we have this obsession with who delivers the news. Do you have a half a minute? Can I?
Well, we have 1 minute before our news break, so maybe we can.
I want to read from a USA Today opinion piece that I think is very revealing.
We will do that then after the news. We'll check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Joanne Weintraub. She is television columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She wrote a piece that was in yesterday's paper that was about the backlash against Katie Couric over her interview with John and Elizabeth Edwards on 60 Minutes recently. That interview that she did was criticized because people thought she was cruel, insensitive, judgmental, hypocritical. And we are wondering why there was such a malicious backlash against Katie Couric for asking questions that probably any journalist would have asked. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Friday morning, April the 6th. And we're talking this hour about why people reacted so strongly to Katie Couric's interview with John and Elizabeth Edwards on 60 Minutes a week and a half ago or so, a couple of weeks ago. The interview made a lot of news, but much of it focused on Katie Couric, from the questions that she asked to the way she looked to her own decision to continue working after her husband was diagnosed with colon cancer. Katie Couric got a lot of criticism for asking the questions that she asked of the Edwards, like this one.
Some have suggested that you're capitalizing on this.
Here's what I would say about that. First of all, There's not a single...
Anything wrong with asking that question? Was that so unfair? Was that being judgmental, insensitive, or cold? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Our guest this hour is Joanne Weintraub. She is television columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She wrote a piece on the reaction to the Katie Couric interview that was entitled Backlash About More Than Couric. And we welcome your questions and comments for her and your reaction to the Katie Couric interview and your reaction to the reaction. How about some of these comments posted on the CBS website that Joanne points out in her column? Some said that she was arrogant with a guise of a smile, too full of herself to be so brazenly bold, a perky blonde cheerleader trying to be tough, a $15 million princess, an embittered wench, a hardened witch, that this was a sickening interview worthy of her skills, which apparently are showing off her legs and high heels, and that her recent facelift was also to blame because it makes her look nasty. So, is this sexism or something else? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk@wpr.org. We do have an open line for you. In fact, I'm surprised that we have an open line for you. Usually you jump right in when we're talking about TV news and this type of issue. Joanne Weintraub, you were going to a quote from a USA Today piece about the Couric interview?
Yeah, this was a year ago, right after she had accepted the evening news job, which she didn't start till September, but it was announced in April. And the surprising thing about this is that it's written by a man who's identified as a broadcasting professor at Grandview College in Des Moines. His name is Steven Winsenberg, and let me just read a little bit of it. The headline is Couric Ready for Primetime TV News? And his answer is probably not. These are all quotes. Women have had little success as evening news anchors, and Couric appears to lack the necessary skills to be the one to change that trend. He goes on to note the failure of Diane Sawyer, Jane Pauley, and he doesn't say Connie Chung, but she was another one who failed as solo anchors. Men have not often had the same problem. Former morning news show hosts Walter Cronkite, Jack Parr, Harry Reasoner, Charles Carroll, Tom Brokaw, and Brian Gumbel all went on to successful evening careers. It's amazing that he mentions Jack Parr in that company, since, of course, Jack Parr was a very witty personality, but not a journalist. He had a late-night talk show way back when. And this is the thing that really was eye-opening. The anchor is the quarterback of the evening news team. Couric has had years of experience playing the news game as a receiver, but not as the one calling the plays. Any sexism there?
Yeah, a quarterback even.
let's steer around the Freudian implications of the whole receiver thing. Mm. But if you got to be a quarterback to lead the deep, it's not football, folks.
Yeah.
It's the news. Women aren't quarterbacks because, you know what? Women don't play pro football. Yeah. They never have. They probably never will. It's not football. It's the news.
Yeah.
And it's a whole nother ball game.
I have other things to ask, but we now have some callers who also have some input on this. Catherine in Richfield is with us. Hi, Catherine.
Hello. I wanted to say that I did see the interview. I never missed 60 Minutes. And when Katie Couric first took over the evening news, she interviewed President Bush. Did you see that interview?
Yeah, I remember it somewhat.
I thought she threw him Nerf balls. I kept on waiting for her to ask him a hard question, and she never did. And then I watched that thing with the Edwards, and I came away with a bad taste in my mouth, and I was asking myself why. Towards the end of the interview, I think she repeated some questions in a way that bothered me. I'm not sure. I just don't see. I don't think Diane Sawyer would have had the criticism that Katie Couric had on that interview.
Why not?
That's a good question, and I've been asking myself that, and I'm not sure. All I can say is that there was something about that interview I didn't like, and maybe it was the way she phrased the questions. Maybe it wasn't the questions themselves,
mm-hmm.
because I thought the vast majority of questions were quite legitimate. But I did think that she kind of harped on, well, what if Mrs. Edwards gets sicker? What if she gets, you know, she kind of harped at that on that towards the end. She repeated it a couple of different ways.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's what bothered me about it.
I suppose it is. It does make people uncomfortable, Joanne Weintraub, to hear someone pressing someone on who has a terminal illness and harping away on maybe when they might die.
You know, I think the caller raises a good point because it makes mm-hmm. me remember that Couric did seem uncomfortable. And my guess as to why she seemed uncomfortable is not because she lacks experience, excuse me, because she has plenty of experience with this sort of interview. She did a lot of silly things on the Today Show, but she did a lot of serious things as well. And I think it was because she herself has been through this. And as I said, in the best of all possible worlds, she would have found a graceful way to mention that.
About her husband's cancer.
And I think kind of, you know, suppressing that comment made the interview more awkward than it should have been. It made me uncomfortable, too, but you know, again, uncomfortable is not the same as disgraceful.
Yeah. What about, I remember that she interviewed President Bush in her first days as the new CBS anchor, but I don't recall if she was, soft on him and hard on the Edwards.
I think I saw it, and I think she was soft on him in the same way that during a one-on-one, almost any reporter is with some notable exceptions, tends to be soft on a sitting president. It's a problem we have in this country that we do not accept from our interviewers very pointed questioning of the president,
yeah.
any president.
Thank you, Catherine. Sue in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I take your last comments. I have to admit, I did not see the interview, but I have seen excerpts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people I hear harping on this are Fox News and people who really just resent the attention that John Edwards is getting, and they're afraid, and some Democrats. I think it's as much political as anything else. But I think Katie Couric has excellent interviewing skills, and I'm usually really impressed with her ability to ask pointed questions in a soft way.
A reaction to that, Joanne Weintraub?
Yeah, it's nice to know there are people like that out there. There were a small minority of people on the CBS website who said things like that.
Joanne Weintraub, our guest, she is a television columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking about her piece that appeared in yesterday's paper about the backlash against Katie Couric for her interview with John and Elizabeth Edwards. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's coming up on 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7, we will welcome in the former House Majority Leader, Tom DeLay. You remember him. We'll talk about his new book called No Retreat, No Surrender. We're talking this hour with Joanne Weintraub, who wrote a column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday. She's the TV columnist there, about the Katie Couric interview with John and Elizabeth Edwards and the malicious backlash that she has received for the questions that she asked and even how she looked. We're wondering why there was such a backlash against Couric, why she almost made as much news as the Edwards did with this interview. And we welcome your comments at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Jim in Oconomowoc is with us next. Hi, Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm going to take a little bit different approach to this, but I do agree with your last caller. But my point is this. I think that broadcast journalism has done a lot of damage to itself, and maybe Katie Couric has become kind of a flashpoint for this. I did not see the interview. I didn't even read about it. But one of the things that we have to continue to think about is what is news and what is not, and what is an interview, a good news interview, and what is not. And I would just simply say, and I think most people listening to this program probably watch some public television as well, but I would like Ms. Weintraub to comment on a Jim Lehrer interview of General Petraeus, who is probably has far more influence and far more impact on this country, and we can't get people to sit down and watch a 15-minute interview fully in depth and covering a news issue that is of such vital importance to the United States, when in fact Katie Couric gets the Edwards on there. And I respect both the Edwards, and I respect that Mrs. Edwards has got cancer again. I'm very sympathetic to that, but that's a feature. That's not a news program. And so I guess as the cables and the commercial TV networks continue to look at personal issues and personality, and we develop a cult of personality around these people, we move farther and farther away from the ability to listen and to understand what is real news and what is real journalism. And I would listen to your comments off the air. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. John Weintraub?
How much time have you got?
Ten minutes.
No, I mean, the caller is right, and there's a sort of despair in what he said. How come we can't get people to listen to this? You can't get people to watch what they're not going to watch, and you can't get people to listen to what they're not going to listen to, and you sort of have to take it from there. Thank goodness it's out there for people who choose to listen to it, and thank goodness with, you know, the miracles of podcasting and archiving and the net, if you missed it the first time, you know, there are print versions of it. You can't, you know, I find myself spouting these terrible cliches, but joy, you can lead a horse to water, but mm-hmm. you can't make it think, you know? I mean, why don't people want to sit still, for heaven forbid, 15 minutes with a man who is shaping our military policy? You know, one possible answer to that lets people off the hook is because we're so depressed by it that something like Katie Couric's eyebrows and legs and heels are a welcome distraction. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, arguing over whether she does or doesn't deserve $15 million. You know, if that's maybe the most charitable explanation. The least charitable explanation is that we've been turned into children. I don't know if it's very different now from the way it used to be. I mean, you know, to use an even older cliche than you can lead a horse to water, there was a reason that people in the Roman Empire liked to watch gladiators go at it. I mean, that was a distraction from real life, too.
Yeah. I have to say that I guess I generally agree with Jim, too, but I'm not sure that an interview with John and Elizabeth Edwards, a presidential candidate, and his wife, who has had a reoccurrence of cancer, is just a fluffy feature. I think that
no,
is...
No, it's not a fluffy feature, but I agree with him that it's in some way, you know, it's It's both. It's news and a feature. It's news, obviously, because it affects the presidential race. And you know, there's a powerful undercurrent here too. I mean, cancer is not something that has. It's not just something that has affected the Edwardses and Katie Couric's family. It's something that virtually no family is untouched by. So, of course, people are going to be watching closely to see how they handle this and to see how she handles it. And in that way, it's certainly legitimate news and the opposite of fluff.
Yeah. Jim, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Ellen in Brookfield. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Well, I'm going to start with my first comment because you were just talking about the cancer. First of all of this questioning of the Edwards over, you know, him working while Elizabeth has cancer, as a sister of three sisters who have had breast cancer four times, nobody's husband quit work. First of all, people's lives change tremendously, but your lifestyle doesn't change. And life, if you're lucky, goes on, and you don't change your living. You just add a bunch of garbage to it until you can be finished with the junk that you have to do. And so the Edwards are actually doing what most families do when one of them has breast cancer or any kind of cancer.
Yeah, except I guess in a typical job, you're not all over the country, away from home for, you know, weeks at a time.
Most typical jobs aren't, but many people travel for their work, too. The other thing is, had Katie in any way, gracefully or not, brought up the fact that she has gone through the similar thing with her husband, I can guarantee you all those vile letters, which I think are very much of it based on sexism and jealousy, would have been, there she goes. It's all about Katie.
Yeah.
It's always all about Katie. I think there was no winning on this at all.
Yeah. So she could have received a criticism for putting the spotlight on herself, Joanne Weintraub. But,
oh, yeah. I can't disagree with the caller. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said, in the best of all possible worlds, she would have brought it up gracefully. But the caller raises a good point. Graceful or not. Diplomatic or not, generous or not, she would have been criticized for that, too.
Yeah. Thanks, Ellen. David in Wauwatosa. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I didn't see the interview, only heard clips. But I'm wondering, with an interview like this, how staged are the questions? And if the Edwards, having a sensitive issue, would have been able to say or would have said, I don't want to talk about this.
Joanne.
Well, if I understand the caller's question right,
the 60 Minutes interview, they were not. I mean, it's not standard procedure that an interview subject gets a list of questions.
No,
it's not
but
staged,
except that they were on to talk about this very issue.
Right.
You know, this was arranged quite quickly. One of the great things about 60 Minutes is that they can turn on a dime. And, you know, who knows what they had for that segment already prepared. They said, no, we're going to get the Edwardses. They, as I said, you know, if this was going to rip their hearts out, they could have just said, no, we decline, we're very sorry. And there's no way that Mike Wallace or Katie Couric would have gotten on and said, the Edwards refused to comment on this. Mm-hmm. No, we probably wouldn't have even known had the Edwards declined to do this. They did this as part of their campaigning, which, by the way, is not a rap against them at all. I think they handled themselves very well, and my heart goes out to them.
Yeah. Let me get one more caller in before we're done here. Betty in Madison. Hi, Betty.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to say that I don't think the backlash on Katie's interview had anything at all to do with sexism. I think it has to do with the skill and the art of interviewing because, you know, by comparison, Jim Lehrer, when he interviews anybody, and especially the Petraeus one that I just watched, he is so respectful in his entire demeanor. And when he asks a really hard, tough question, he does it with total respect. And Katie doesn't exude that. She can ask hard questions, and it comes across as brassy and in your face. And when she asks it in a soft way, or she doesn't ask it at all, there's a difference in the art of interviewing.
Yeah.
And
you
Jim Lehrer has it, and she doesn't.
And we have less than a minute for a reaction to that, Joanne Weintraub.
I don't think she's brassy, and I wonder, even with all due respect to the caller, he's Jim Lehrer, but she's Katie.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I think we have expectations of women. We call them by their first names. The caller is probably throwing up her hands and going, "You're harping on this,"
we'll leave it there for us.
Call me brassy. Yeah. Call me bold.
And I'll call you Joanne Weintraub.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Joy Cardine.
Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Joanne Weintraub is television columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thanks to Steve Williams for producing this hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.